In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Saint Jerome, writing 1600 years ago, comments upon this gospel. He says, Mammon is a Syrian word for riches, for the love of riches. Now, Saint Augustine, he was a contemporary, writing at the same time, comments upon this scripture. He says, he concurs, Mammon is this notion of love of riches. Now, Augustine is clear. He says, it is not riches itself. But he says, our Lord is clear. Though you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve God, or you cannot serve riches or wealth or money or material possessions. And Augustine is very careful. St. Augustine, he says, serve. The riches and wealth themselves are not sinful. It's when you serve them, and they are the most important thing. Now, Augustine goes on to comment on this scripture, and he says that initially it sounds like our Lord is saying the same thing twice. You shall love one and hate the other, or you shall sustain the one and despise the other. But he says, actually, no. These are two separate cases. Saying the first case is the person who loves God. You love God and you despise, or you hate. I'm sorry, it says hate. The other, that is the riches. But why is that? Augustine says, because he who serves the riches, who is a slave to riches, is a slave to the prince of this world, that is the devil. And so you cannot both, if you love God, then you clearly hate the devil, the prince of this world. And therefore you will hate the mammon, that is, this inordinate desire, this inordinate attachment to the riches. And then Augustine goes on and says, and then the other one is then said a little differently. The other time our Lord says this, says you will sustain the one. In Latin it says sustain. And that is tolerate. Tolerate who? The devil. Why? Tolerate him. People don't, you can't really love the devil. A person who loves riches, though, tolerates him. Why? So that they can get the wealth and riches. And then, what does he say? You despise the other. You can't really hate God, but you despise him because of his laws that say you shouldn't be doing this. And so, this is talking about, of course, greed, covetousness, this inordinate desire for material things, for material wealth. Unfortunately, this is a sin or vice which nobody really wants to hear these days. Recently, I should say not recently, a few years ago I was reading a Catholic magazine. It was good, it had solid teachings in it. And there was a letter to the editor commenting about an article that was written about a good homily. And it was written by a layman. And he talked about how his priest would give good, solid teachings and everything. But then he complained, he said, and then once a year he would get up and he would talk about Saint Money and how terrible this is, and that I wish he would just stick with good, spiritual, Catholic things, stick to preaching the gospel. And it was a little shocking to read that. Now, maybe his priest wasn't really preaching what our Lord says. Maybe he was talking about something else. But it's pretty clear in the Gospels that our Lord does talk about these issues. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk about things like first fruits and tithing. And then we see St. Paul talking about this, not in our readings today. He does touch upon it, but in other places. Our Lord talks about it here, talks about it when the widow's mite, the widow giving the 2 copper coins. This is part of the Gospel. But unfortunately, this is not popular. This is a true vice, greed, covetousness. It is rife here in the United States. Of course, greed is the reason why our economy almost collapsed, because of the greed of the bankers pushing these loans on people, the greed of the people on Wall Street. This is a true vice that we have to address. And so how do we address it? What are we to do? The key is to notice it is the love of riches. Sometimes we hear the statement, money is the root of all evil, and it's kind of in the scriptures that way, but it's not that. It is the love of money is the root of all evil. Here it is the love of riches that is the problem. It's an internal problem. It's a problem of our soul. It's a problem of our heart. The riches themselves aren't the problem. It is our inordinate attachment to them. And so what's the remedy is, of course, to do penance. Many of you know there's only three ways to do penance. Every penance reduces to one of these three. Either prayer, denying yourself some kind of bodily pleasure, a legitimate pleasure, or giving alms. This is a complete category of penance, is to give our alms, give our money. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about the vice of greed, and he says that it tends to, I should say, older people tend to have more of a problem with this than younger people. He says it is the opposite of impurities. Younger people have problems with impurities, and then normally as people get older, those problems lessen. Then he says what happens is usually people run into problems with covetousness. And the way in which we overcome this is to do penance. We have to give alms. You know, if we have a physical ailment, go to the doctor and the nurse, you know, puts a cast on your arm and wraps it up and she's all done. She says, there you go. It's a great cast. And you're looking at it and you say, you know, nurse, that is a great cast. The problem is I'm here because I have diabetes. I don't have a broken arm. So it's not really going to do me much good. The spiritual life is similar, and that is certain penances are more effective against certain types of spiritual ailments. Now, it's not exactly the same like the physical example of a cast. For penance will work universally, but there are certain penances that are more powerful against certain vices. So if you have troubles with the pleasures of the flesh, then you deny yourself some pleasure. It's just obvious. If you have trouble with inordinate attachment to material goods, then you give alms. You give alms. Or, also, I should add this, if you're making restitution for stealing, the only way you can make restitution is to give alms. You have to give what you took. You have to do that. Now, I use the term give alms, and there's a lot of terms here. There's three terms that we'll see. There is a thing called tithing. That is the Old Testament notion of giving one-tenth. There is the notion of first fruits, and that is you give the first part to God. And then there's the notion of almsgiving, and that is just in general giving to the poor. Now, we're talking about all these. Now, as Catholics, we don't teach the tithe. Some Protestant denominations do, but the church is you know, in the Middle Ages it taught that, but nowadays the church will say, you know, it's not really the fact of some external observance, you give one-tenth. Now, there are people who do that, but the key is again, to render your heart, that maybe giving one-tenth really isn't a penance for someone. The notion is that you have to have that, you have to get rid of that inordinate attachment. And so because of that, the church will say, you know, you still have to do something that one-tenth might not be a proper penance. That's usually not a problem with most people, though. So it would be good, though, to look and see what giving alms or giving first fruits is not. It is not giving something that you don't want. Now, that might be something charitable. Say someone gets a new sofa. They say, well, we got this old sofa. What are we going to do with it? I don't know. Let's give it to St. Vincent de Paul. Okay, that is something charitable. That is something good. I don't want to present this as black and white. That's something good. You're doing something charitable. You're giving it for the charity. They can sell it, raise money. You can go to the poor and things like that. But the question is, in your heart, was that a real penance? No. Matter of fact, it probably made your life a little easier because you call them up and they'll come and they'll pick up your sofa and get rid of it for you. So you don't have to then figure out, how am I going to get rid of this? We've got to strap it to the roof of the car and things like that. So I want to make it clear. That might be a good thing you're doing. You're giving to charity. But strictly speaking, that's not a penance. When you give something that you really don't want. So don't fool yourself on that. Another thing is to give something or money and get something in return. That is to pay tuition to a Catholic school. That's not, it might be painful, but you're getting something. So that's not really a complete sacrifice. That's not really a complete sacrifice. Or something like, you know, we don't do it here, but like a spaghetti supper. Okay, we're having a spaghetti supper. Come in, you get this, you get a plate of pasta, and you know, okay, it's good. We're raising funds for whatever. You know, you gotta fix the bell tower or whatever. Okay, it's good. Again, it's a charity. We want to say that's a good thing. It's a charity, and yeah, you probably wouldn't have spaghetti, but you know, I'll do it for the charity. It's not as pure of a gift though, because you're getting something back. Now, of course, the ladies in the kitchen or the people in the kitchen doing the work, they might be, you know, giving of themselves. It might be a real penance to be there. That's something different. So we need to be clear. Another aspect of this is, you know, mass intentions. That you're getting something, or you're getting something for someone else. Strictly speaking, now that is a great charity. I want to be clear on this. I'm not saying these things are bad to do. They are charitable acts. They're charitable works. But the question I ask is, are they really rendering your heart? The inordinate attachment to riches. That's what we have to fight against. The inordinate attachment to riches. Now, there's a thing called first fruits. And this is the notion that the first part goes to God. It's talked about in the Old Testament a lot. And this is a good thing to do. For the idea of giving the sofa, that's really what we would term last fruits. It's the leftover. Again, it's charitable, but it's not the same thing than giving the first part. Now, we need to make it clear here. You know, I'm up here talking about this because it needs to be said. This is a part of the gospel. I'm not here talking about, well, the church is, I'm not trying to talk about our church here. I'm not saying, you know, we're broke or anything. In no way. I'm not saying we have this big project I want you to give. I'm not intending that. There will always be a project. Anyone who owns a home knows there's always something that needs to be fixed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual welfare. Is there anyone exempt from this? St. Thomas Aquinas is pretty clear. No. Nobody is exempt. Not even me, a priest. Aquinas actually talks about that. That a priest is not exempt. Only on certain types of income is he exempt from. And it's more medieval type income. Nothing that we really have today. So everybody should be giving alms or giving first fruits. Now, someone, I need to add this, someone might not have a lot of extra money. So then you give your time. But it has to be, again, it should be something, not the scraps, but it should be something like the first part. Making a commitment to give your time, rather than, if I have a couple minutes, God, I'll do this, or, you know, I'm volunteering here, but not really because I have all these other commitments before that. So we have what's called first fruits. And so this is a good thing to practice, that is. And this is why the tithe, sometimes people like it, because it sets it very clear. The first part, 10%, will go to God. And whatever. And then the rest is whatever I need to live off of. But the church doesn't say you have to do that. But what you should be doing is something like that. Deciding beforehand what you will give. Because then you're putting God first and you're rendering your heart. You're trying to fight against that vice of greed, that vice of covetousness. It's important to do this. Now, I need to mention this. I mentioned this 2.5 years ago when I spoke on this the last time, and I will mention it again. It's very important to recognize this is critical. The first murder in the history of the human race occurred over this issue. Cain murdered Abel over this issue, first fruits, giving to God. Abel was a shepherd, and he offered, as it says in Genesis, the first part. He offered the lambs and the fat and the best part to God. His brother Cain was a farmer, and it says he made his offering to God also. And then it says, God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. And the spiritual writers say, answer the question, why? Because it really doesn't say why. It's very subtle. He rejected Cain's because Cain did not give the first part to God. He gave the leftovers. He gave the scraps. And so because of that, God didn't accept it. Not because God needs this stuff. God doesn't need it. It says in the Psalms, I created the animals of the fields. I don't need you to give them to me. They're mine already. Why are we to give? Why are we to make this sacrifice? Because it is to render our hearts, to tear out that part, that desire for material goods. And because Cain's offering in his heart was not acceptable to God, he was then envious of his brother and killed him over this issue. The first murder occurred because of this. So let nobody fool yourselves. This is an important issue. And I know that every time a priest speaks about this, someone, I'm sure, thinks like that letter I read earlier, oh, Father, why don't you just talk about spiritual things and leave the money to off to the side, the worldly things. No. This has to be talked about, and unfortunately it's uncomfortable, and unfortunately nobody talks about it. You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other, or you will sustain the one and despise the other. Greed and covetousness are real sins, and we have to fight against them, because as Aquinas says, as we get older, this sin becomes more and more prevalent as a person gets older. And so render your heart. Make almsgiving. Give alms. And give so that you can then have a pure and holy heart to offer to our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.